are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock, your host with you once again on this Thursday edition of the program. My guest today, one of my favorites, Matt Barrows, now of The Athletic. We're going to talk everything 49ers, look ahead to the Cardinals, what's important, what's going on with this team, what can be fixed this year, what is something that maybe we'll have to wait until the offseason for the 49ers to address. We're going to talk coaching, we're going to talk personnel, get into everything here with Matt Barrows very shortly. I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we are everywhere. Oh, and look out for those flash briefings. If you're an Alexa user, flash briefings are this new thing. So we're throwing those up there. Quick 49ers news, or you can ask Alexa to play Locked On 49ers for you. And if you want to rate and review on the Amazon platform, that would be great too. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Get those questions in for Friday's mailbag episode. Gonna go wherever you guys want to take it on tomorrow's show. And of course, you can go to LockedOn49ers.com. You can find the stream of the podcast there, where to subscribe, and tons of other content at LockedOn49ers.com. ProFootballFocus.com released their quarter season All-Pro team, and there were a couple of 49ers. Despite their 1-3 record, there was a couple 49ers in there. The starting tight end, George Kittle, he is the highest-rated tight end in the entire league for Pro Football Focus right now with a 90 grade, and he's second to only O.J. Howard by a 100th of a yard in yards per route run in the NFL this season. So he's been efficient. He's had high volume of production, on pace for about 70 catches and 1,200 yards. He's been really everything the 49ers hoped and one of the true bright spots for this 49ers team in 2018. And he's got a good rapport with his college teammate and quarterback. So there's no reason that shouldn't continue. And George Kittle is a guy who's tough to cover, even when the defense knows that that's where you're trying to go with the football. So George Kittle's been a fantastic, really been probably the first quarter MVP for the 49ers, been the best player for the 49ers. He was rewarded with a little bit of renown, I guess, a paragraph in an article for Pro Football Focus as the all-pro quarter season tight end in the NFL. And another guy, Matt Breida, was an honorable mention at running back. He was behind just Alvin Kamara as Pro Football Focus's top running back so far in the quarter season. And maybe a lot of 49ers fans are wondering why Matt Breida hasn't seen the field more in these four games, being that he's been so productive. And I'll talk to Matt Barrows about that when he joins the show momentarily. I do want to get to the injury report first, though, and let's start with Matt Breida, because good news there is, well, he's at least practicing. He's limited. Looks like he's on the same path to play as he was last week. Guard Mike Person also limited in practice. On the good news side, full participants, both starting safeties coming into the year, Jaquaski Tartt and Adrian Colbert, both full participants, and Kyle Shanahan did say that Colbert was going to get his starting job back most likely if he was ready to go, and that's the track he's on for Sunday. Guard Joshua Garnett, a full participant for the first time. Alfred Morris, fully participating in practice, as was cornerback Akello Witherspoon. And for the bad news, not practicing at all, and three offensive linemen showing up. Joe Staley, that's not surprising. He takes a lot of Wednesdays off anyways when he's healthy, and with that injury, he's not practicing. Mike McGlinchey, the other tackle, also not participating in practice, and center Weston Richburg. So three-fifths of the starting offensive line not even practicing for the 49ers, which is a little bit frightening. I think they're all in the questionable zone right now. Also questionable is wide receiver Marquise Goodwin, who's dealing with, I think, both quad and hamstring injuries right now. And then, of course, Dante Pettis and Richard Sherman did not practice. They are both already ruled out for week five. Okay, it's almost time to bring on today's guest, but first I got to tell you guys about my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I tell people to bet with my bookie. And the truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you do know, you got to check out my bookie. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is super easy to use. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. My bookie is slammed with new bettors. So they want to give everyone the best service possible. So if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join MyBookie now, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code Locked On when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you want to hold out till after 7 p.m. when you deposit and get that extra $25 free play, use promo code LOCKEDON25. Just add that 25 right to the end. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner. Take that extra money. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. My guest today is the great Matt Barrows of now The Athletic, the 49ers beat writer over there. A great hire by The Athletic to go and pay the big bucks, I'm sure, to go out and get Matt Barrows. Matt, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining Locked On 49ers again.
No problem. Thanks for having me on again.
And so drinks are on you with all this big Athletic dollars you have coming in, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's the money. There's the, you know, the car that they bought me, the swag, the bling. it goes on and on.
The car. So you're like rolling from your house to Levi's Stadium in what, a Bentley now?
Yeah, I think they call it a Phantom. I don't even know. I mean, I just get in it and drive. But
well, your
I get
driver
a lot of looks, that's for sure.
Your driver drives it. You don't actually drive it.
That's right, driver. Right.
So let's speaking of The Athletic, one of the things you put out there today was a 49ers stock report, sort of a stock up, stock down situation of what's going on through the first quarter of the 49ers season. And there were some interesting notes in there. I want to start with the guy who's not, or the position group that's not stock up or stock down. It's sort of surprisingly not stock down. No offense to C.J. Beathard, but the quarterback position was like, okay, the quarterback position did not lose that football game. If C.J. Beathard plays like that the rest of the year, that's not necessarily the problem, right?
Yeah, if C.J. Beathard plays like that the rest of the year and the problems on the team fix themselves, then you can expect some wins. And, yeah, I think everybody was thinking that there would be a big drop-off, you know, once Garoppolo got hurt. But, you know, Garoppolo wasn't playing great. It wasn't like the end of 2017. Mm-hmm. And Beathard actually played a little bit better in his one game, and it's just one game, and it's not enough to make any grandiose conclusions. But he played better in the one game than Garoppolo had in the three previous. I mean, the completion percentage was better. He was sacked less. The yards per attempt was the same. Two interceptions, but neither of them were really his fault. So he actually played really well. And there's always sort of a catch-up thing where the defense figures out the quarterback and knows what he can and can't do. And maybe that's coming. But the point being that Beathard looked pretty good in that game. And certainly he was not the reason for the loss. And really, he played as good, if not better, than Garoppolo had in his three starts. So, the point being, maybe hope is not all lost. There are other areas on this team that the team just needs to get better at: tackling, pass protection, you know, rushing the opposing passer, etc. But as some of those things fix themselves, Beathard should be good enough to get a few victories here in these last 12 games.
Yeah, and we're going to get to some of those other things you just mentioned in a second. But one of the things that jumps out to me is that if Beathard does play like he has been, it would be good and bad because he might end up right next to Jimmy Garoppolo on the injured list if he takes hits like he did in that game. He can't do that for 12 more games.
Yeah, it's a bit of a double-edged sword with him. I mean, it's that moxie that really fires up his teammates, and maybe it becomes infectious and, you know, they are able to rally from them, but the moxie also exposes him to big hits. And boy, you just can't see him taking the beating that he did on Sunday. And that was typical of his five starts last year too. That wasn't out of the ordinary for a C.J. Beathard start. You just can't see him doing 12 games like that. I mean, he was beat up after five starts last year, and I don't know whether six or seven would have happened, really. So that's got to change. And he is better at getting rid of the ball, getting rid of the ball on time and not taking those hits. That last hit he took was a strange sequence. Shanahan was saying that it really was a mistake on the Chargers' part. They had both of their safeties were blitzing on that play. They never do that. They didn't have anybody deep in coverage. If somehow Beathard had escaped that hit or gotten the ball free cleanly, that would have been a big gain because the Los Angeles had zero safeties back. So that was a mistake by them that they got away with. Ended up being a big play for them. My point is that Beathard should be better at avoiding those hits. It seemed like the biggest ones that he took on Sunday were roughing the passer calls and plays where he scrambled and was trying to get extra yardage and instead of sliding went for the first down marker. So it seems like it's correctable, at least. This upcoming game, they're going to be playing a team that blitzes a lot, and the 49ers are going to have a lot of injuries on the offensive line. So that's sort of a new wrinkle that they have to encounter.
Yeah, the injuries on the offensive line hurts. And I made a note last week when Joe Staley left the game, you've got C.J. Beathard in there for Garoppolo. Joe Staley's out of the game. No Richard Sherman. And I was thinking, this roster all of a sudden looks almost identical to the 2017 roster that was 1-9. And so that's got to be a little bit frightening, I think, when you start to look at depth and you're thinking, okay, well, this is the same team they ran out there last year and lost a bunch of games.
Yeah, and that's the real risk that they have. I mean, they're playing an 0-4 Cardinals team on Sunday. If they lose that game, I don't see how you can escape that, exactly what you described. But this has been a giant step backward into the middle of 2017 when they were a winless team. This is a winnable game. But if you don't win this one, and you got Green Bay coming up on Monday night, and you have the Los Angeles Rams after that, boy, it's kind of hard to keep that stiff upper lip, that, we can persevere attitude, because it's going to be apparent that all of those gains that you made last year, all the excitement, all the hype, all of the expectations, you're kind of back where you started from. You're back to square one.
So the other side of the ball on defense, fans are really starting to get a little frustrated with Robert Saleh's squad. And despite all the draft capital that have been spent on that side of the ball, where do you put the blame? Is it just injury and they've had a rough go with all the injuries? Is it mediocre drafts and free agent returns? Or is it the coaching staff that you can point to, where it seems most of the fans are starting to point the finger right now at Robert Saleh and that defensive staff? And it's hard to blame the fans for getting frustrated watching the worst tackling team in football right now. And the metrics back it up. PFF has the entire defense graded worst in the league, and the tackling also worst in the league.
Yeah, 51 missed tackles, which is just abysmal. It's only four games. And those missed tackles are coming from your inside linebackers and your safeties mostly. And those are the players that you count on to be the best at those positions. Yeah, you have to go back to the coaching. I mean, I felt like in the preseason, Jaquaski Tartt and Adrian Colbert were doing their best to preserve themselves, to make sure that they didn't get injured, that they would start the season healthy. And they did, and then they got injured after that. But the result of that was that they played poorly in the preseason. They were missing tackles in the preseason. They didn't use the preseason, which really, in this day and age, is the only portion of the non-regular season where you can practice tackling. They don't do that in the preseason, in training camp anymore. They certainly don't do it in the spring because there are no fully padded practices. And then training camp starts up, and teams just don't do that anymore. Mike Singletary used to do that, and he used to bother the players to no end. And a lot of them got injured. And you understand the impetus of wanting to avoid live tackling drills. Why get injured in the middle of August when you're not playing games? The games don't matter at that point. But the result of that is that you get into September and nobody has remembered how to do it. I mean, it seems like it should be like riding a bicycle. Apparently it's not. And, you know, what you're seeing is these guys just being very sloppy with it and, you know, going for the knockout blow and trying to, you know, knock these running backs out of bounds and leaping, you know, a yard or two out. And, that's not how you do it. Maybe you get away with that in college. But that's certainly not working at this point. And so you really have to go back to the coaching. I mean, if they're not whipping them in shape to do that, and you can do all the tackling circuits you want on Wednesday and Thursday, but it's still, you know, against a pad and, you know, it's sort of a crash pad on the bottom that you fall into. It's not real football. So I don't know how you can expect a team to play real tackle football on Sunday when you're not doing it at all, you know, Monday through Saturday, and also, you know, April through August. I mean, it's just the reality of the current NFL.
Matt Barrows, 49ers beat writer for The Athletic, is my guest today on the podcast. We will get back to that conversation momentarily. I do want to remind everybody about swap.com. For those of you who are tired of spending crazy money on brand new, brand name clothes, especially those of you who buy kids' clothes, which is what I'm doing right now, buying tons of kids' clothes. My son grows out of them almost instantly. It's kind of mind-blowing. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to store after store and sifting through racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. You know, I remember back in the day going to those thrift stores and you'd go through the whole store maybe to find just that one awesome shirt and be like, ah, yes, this is why I came to find this. And you'd spend hours there looking through racks and racks of stuff. Hard for me. I'm a tall guy, 6'4", to find thrift store clothes is always, they're always like super tiny. So to be able to instantly get rid of all the clothes that are below size large, right? And then, so yeah, swap.com has all of that covered for you instantly. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about. With swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price of your favorite brands. You name it, all of your favorite brands, they are there. And of course, a special offer for our listeners. Get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code LOCKEDON. And remember, if something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. All of the items are quality, hand-inspected, and new stuff is added daily. Use promo code LOCKEDON to get 35% off select items, plus find new deals every day at swap.com. Matt, I want to talk a little bit about, so you mentioned the safeties there, Tart and Colbert in particular, and then some of the skill position guys that maybe haven't been getting open, and Jimmy Garoppolo, we were seeing taking some what looked to be coverage-type sacks because there was nowhere to get rid of the ball, and that's his number one thing, is getting the ball out quickly. So did the 49ers and 49ers fans maybe overrate the talent that they had at the safety position and in the skill positions coming into this season?
Well, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo made everybody look better. So that was sort of a natural conclusion to make. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, Shanahan was talking about this last year, is that, you know, this team doesn't really have very many big receivers. And everybody seemed to conclude, I certainly did, that he's talking about, oh yeah, I mean, they need a big guy for the red zone. They need to be able to, you know, toss up a fade to a guy in the corner of the end zone and expect that he comes down with it. The other part of that is that big players are hard to cover in man coverage. I mean, they can break away from that. And when you've got a team full of smaller guys, then a defense like the Detroit Lions did in week two can basically mug those guys at the line of scrimmage and they never get open. And that was the game that Garoppolo had six sacks, and all of them were cases where he had plenty of time to throw but just could not pull the trigger because none of his receivers were breaking open. I just wonder if they had a bigger, more physical receiver who couldn't be controlled by a single cornerback or whoever it is, whether that wouldn't be the case. But that seems to be One of the solutions that opposing defenses have come up with, just play a lot of press coverage against these guys. Take away the quickness that Garoppolo and Trent Taylor, for example, had last year on third down, and hope that the officials aren't calling a tight game, and maybe you get away with it. And that seems to be the issue with Trent Taylor. Goodwin has been hurt to this point. That's hurt this team. The rest of these guys are sort of smallish guys too. I think we are going to see a much more extended run from Kendrick Bourne on Sunday than we've seen in the past, given all the injuries that they have at the position. And it'll be interesting to see whether they can whether Bourne and C.J. Beathard can kind of continue the magic that they started to create Sunday against Los Angeles.
Yeah, I totally agree about the wide receivers and maybe getting some bigger wide receivers in there. And it goes back to Scott McLuhan's thing. It's a big man's game. And I think that's part of not only getting away from press coverage and stuff like that, but just taking the pounding of so we saw it with Trent Taylor last year. All of those targets, those mount up. And when you're 5'7", 180 pounds, it's hard to take a pounding like that through an NFL season. And we've seen the toll now that it's taken on his body, and a similar thing with Marquise Goodwin. He was a breakout player last year, but ended up getting finally hurt by the end of the season. And we're seeing him get hurt a lot this season. And so it just helps to have a bigger body guy to take that pounding. And which brings me to the point about Trent Taylor, which to me, it seems like he's still not all the way back. He definitely dealt with all those injuries in the offseason. Do you think he's back? Because he doesn't quite look like the same guy.
No, I don't think he is. I mean, he dealt with a fairly serious back injury, and he was telling me the other day that perhaps he overtrained in the off season, to do the very things that we were talking about. I mean, he felt like he needed to get stronger to be able to break free of those that tight press coverage, and he worked out. And he was working out with C.J. Beathard and George Kittle, and he worked out hard. And perhaps he overdid it, and he came up with that back injury. And I don't think that he's totally back from that. He's doesn't have the quickness, sort of the break open ability that he and Garoppolo seemed to really capitalize on immediately when he came in there. And that sort of third down safety net that Garoppolo had hasn't really been there this year, and I think that's certainly that week two game against the Lions, he was looking in Taylor's direction quite a bit on those crucial plays, and he just never got open. So I feel like he's been mugged at the line of scrimmage, and he needs to find a solution for it, and hopefully that will come with time as he gets more and more healthy.
You mentioned Kendrick Bourne getting a little bit more of a look with Dante Pettis out. Do you see Richie James possibly getting in there? It's likely that he's going to be active because Dante Pettis is not going to be active because he's already been ruled out. Might we see Richie James get in there, maybe seeing if his playmaking ability can help the offense at all or special teams?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that'll be interesting to watch. James certainly will be active for this game because of Pettis being inactive. And, James has worked out of the slot mostly. And it'll be interesting, to see whether he gets reps at X, and I think he will, which is Goodwin's normal spot. Very hard to see Goodwin playing, a full number of snaps like he usually gets given his hamstring injury. And, maybe Trent Taylor gets a lot of X snaps too, in which case James starts playing a little bit more slot, and to me that's the more natural position for him. I see him as a Victor Cruz type of player. I mean, he's just got a real savvy about him. He's probably a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger than Trent Taylor is. He's probably not quite as quick, but he might be better deeper downfield than Trent Taylor is, and that could be very interesting, and I feel like this guy just needs a chance, and once he gets it, some good things might happen.
Matt Breida, the number three leading rusher in the NFL right now, and he's had far less carries than some of the guys around the league that are among the top rushers in the NFL. Is the lack of usage in the last couple of weeks to do with that knee injury and not want to push him too hard, or is that just Shanahan being his aggressive self and not really wanting to rely too much on the run?
Oh, I think it absolutely has to do with injuries and not wanting to overdo it with Breida. I mean, Breida is a guy who's had an injury history dating back to high school, and that's the reason why he fell out of the draft, and that's the reason why the 49ers are hesitant to give him, you know, 20, 25 carries a game. And it's well-founded. I mean, he's had a shoulder injury in the preseason. He had a knee injury in Kansas City. He had a shoulder injury in Los Angeles. He gets hurt a lot, and I don't think that he can take a big load. And, you know, what the load that they've given him so far has worked out pretty well. I mean, he's as you mentioned, he's the third leading rusher in the NFL. So it's not like, they're not getting their money's worth out of him. He's still been effective for this team. The question is, if you did push that to 15, 18 carries, do you risk losing, you know, a very good, you know, your second most explosive offensive weapon, really, behind George Kittle for the season? And I think the 49ers are probably doing the right thing right now with Matt Breida and the ratio that he's got going with Alfred Morris.
You touched on it just a little bit ago about the Cardinals game coming up. 0-4 Cardinals team coming into Levi's Stadium, rookie quarterback making his first road NFL start. And to me, it's an interesting barometer of where the 49ers stand. And there's sort of a kind of a funny tongue-in-cheek argument on my Twitter timeline this week when we talked about the 49ers PFF ranking being worst in the league for defenses, and that they've played against four top 10 offenses so far. And the argument was whether or not the 49ers defense is at the bottom because they played four top 10 offenses, or those offenses are in the top 10 because they played the 49ers defense. Where do you stand on that one?
Yeah, chicken or egg. They haven't played the Rams yet, so I can't imagine that that ranking would be any better with them or the Green Bay Packers. But, there's something to be said about that. They did play the Chiefs. Everybody, realizes that they're a top, what, two? Maybe it's the Rams is better than them team this year. Some of these other ones, I don't know. The Vikings seem to be still finding their footing, etc. But it's hard to say very many good things about the defense. Positive I think is that they have played the run pretty well, which is what you would expect from a team that, you know, has concentrated on its interior defensive line in the drafts recently. And as you would expect from a cover three team, they don't let up a lot of deep passes. I think there's something like 12 plays they've allowed of 20 yards or more, which is pretty good, the top 10 in the league. The issue has been, you know, red zone and sort of the short to intermediate stuff. They've allowed 11 touchdown passes through the air so far. That's one of the worst marks in the league. And, some of those have been really, really easy scores. And that's just not what this defense should be about. They should not be making the mental mistakes that they do, because it should be a fairly simple, basic defense. That's the whole premise of it. So basic that the defensive players can be very, very aggressive and, not sort of second-guess themselves all the time. And that hasn't been happening.
And thus the name of the all-gas, no-breaks that Robert Saleh calls his defense, which in turn is the name of Matt Barrow's podcast, the No Breaks Podcast. I do want to highly recommend to those listeners out there, co-hosted with fellow athletic writer David Lombardi. Who's your guest this week on No Breaks?
We did Greg Maben, the cornerback who could be starting on Sunday. If you recall back late last season, they had that game in Houston where the Texans were decimated by injuries, and their only real player at the time was DeAndre Hopkins, and he almost was enough to give the Texans the win down there in Houston. He was picking on Dante Johnson all game, and they finally gave Johnson the hook, and they put in Maben, And that and some other things that they did on defense shut down Hopkins, and to the point where Maben was, you know, set to start the following week. And during the week of practice, he suffered, I think, a calf strain or something like that, and that start never came. So it's sort of a very delayed start for him. If he does get it on Sunday, and a very similar scenario happened against the Chargers, where he came in the second half, and you know, Kelly Witherspoon had been struggling, the pass defense in general had been struggling, and Maben played pretty well. So I wonder whether he will get that start. He's an interesting guy. He's you know, a technician like Kelly Witherspoon is, and you know, he could end up starting against the Cardinals.
That is Matt Barrows. Check out the No Breaks podcast and especially subscribe to The Athletic. And the cost of The Athletic is worth it just for Matt Barrows' articles alone. Those of you who read his work over at the Sack Bee, I'm sure you know. And, of course, listen to him here on the podcast. It's always a pleasure. Matt Barrows, thank you so much for joining me here once again.
Thank you for having me on.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks again to Matt Barrows for joining me on the show. Thanks again to everybody for listening. Hit me up with those mailbag questions. It's going to be a Fan Friday. Going to dig deep into the mailbag. We'll talk about whatever you guys, wherever you guys want to take this on Friday, that's where we will take it. Find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can drop me an email, lockedon49ers@gmail.com. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.